This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan, together with T. Xiao Ik and Lim Soo Ann. Here are the stories we have for you today. First up, is Kuala Lumpur a musical city? We explore what some of the world's most musical cities are.
And in our second story, a bit of a change of tone. Do you live alone? Because a new study has found a link between living alone and common mental disorders, and loneliness may be to blame.
So on Twitter, we're asking you, what do you do when you feel lonely? Your options are reach out to someone, plan some activities, or to do nothing. So you can join the conversation today by tweeting us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Before we get to our stories, here is The Beatles with I Wanna Hold Your Hand.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That was The Beatles with I Want to Hold Your Hand. And speaking of the most famous band from Liverpool, we are going on to our first story. And what is a musical city? This is a question that was discussed in a recent article in The Guardian that focused on the music scenes in various cities around the world and how they contributed to those particular cities' culture. And the article looks at some of the cities around the world that are sort of known for their music and discusses the different definitions that one can use to call a city a quote-unquote musical.
So the article examines different criteria that can be used to answer that question. For instance, take a city like London, which has a thriving culture of music venues and performances.
Right.
So everything from underground music to huge stars with their, like, you know, few thousand capacity concerts, to classical music as well, and even experimental sort of really non-mainstream stuff. And, you know, what's represented is also a huge diversity of cultures from all around the world.
Right.
Yeah. And then there are cities like Austin in the US, which calls itself the live music capital of the world.
Yep.
So Austin has about 200 music venues with performances happening every night of the week. It's also world renowned for festivals like City Limits and South by Southwest.
Meanwhile, if you go just by numbers, you can look at Melbourne. It's apparently considered the most musical city in the world because it boasts the most performances a year by far. Apparently over 73,000 music performances.
Wow,
yeah,
that's a lot.
That is a lot. I can't wrap my head around that number. I mean, I used to live in Melbourne. I did attend a few, but 73,000 a year, I wouldn't have thought that city...
In a city that size,
had enough venues or even an audience, but there you go. And in comparison, New York has about 36,000 shows a year, Paris around 31,000, and London close to 23,000.
And of course, then you have something like you said, mentioned New York, which comes to everyone's minds when you speak of musical heritage. It's where John Lennon lived and died. It was the home of people like Patti Smith, Bob Dylan, and Leonard Cohen.
Right.
And even rappers like the Notorious B.I.G., Jay-Z, and Mos Def are all indelibly linked to New York City.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, some very, I suppose, different ideas of what a musical city can be. But in contrast to cities like this, you know, which kind of perhaps fit that more traditional idea of what you might call a musical city, the article also puts forward a place like Lagos in Nigeria. You know, Lagos only has one major music venue. It's called the New Africa Shrine, but that one venue is this memorial to Fela Kuti, who is known as the father of Afrobeat music. So this one venue is both hugely significant in the city's music history and is also a major tourist destination. And then there are places like Varanasi in India, which has this rich, you know, centuries old history of Indian classical music, New Orleans, where jazz was born, or Santiago de Cuba, where salsa has its roots. Or, you know, a place like Nashville, which is the sort of cradle of country music, right? So the question, and I don't think the article actually means to answer it definitively. How would you define what a musical city is?
I think for me, it's about the variety, the number, and but also variety of musical performances that you are exposed to. You know, so just a city where there's always something going on in terms of some sort of musical act, not just the big concerts, but just, you know, maybe small venues having little jazz concerts, perhaps, or where punk bands get together and jam. So that's sort of what I think.
think of.
Right. Yeah, and I think personally for me, I would think of it as somewhere where a city where, you know, their traditional musical culture is reflected everywhere, where you would have performances that have, you know, even just little bits of all these traditional musical culture, even with a modern interpretation.
Yeah, I think for me, when I think of a musical city, honestly, I don't know whether something like London comes to mind, because for me personally, the idea of a musical city would be something closer to New Orleans, where music is sort of so baked into that place's DNA, and that something originated there. The culture of the place is so tied in with this idea of music. So, I mean, quite a lot of ways in which I think this can be approached. So all this talk about musical cities, I guess, does beg the question, how do our own Malaysian cities measure up? So I spoke earlier to Daryl Goh, who is our Shawik's partner.
Just disclaimer up front, okay?
But more
I had nothing to do with this conversation.
In fact, she might have actively opposed asking him. but more significantly, Daryl is also culture editor for The Star. So we had a conversation earlier about this idea of musical cities and how they might have a place in Malaysia. How would you define a musical city?
From a very base standpoint, if I look at the countries, or maybe let's say a place like London, if I open a very basic thing like the Time Out magazine, and it's like it's got pages and pages of gigs to go to, variety, like jazz, world music, and just across the board. And if you go to a place like, I would just have to be quite predictable and just say, like London, tons of opportunities to go and watch a folk gig somewhere in some pub, or maybe if you wanted to watch a skiffle gig or jazz or stuff like that. I mean, it's not all top 40. So, I mean, that would be some kind of a place that I would like to go to, where it's just a wide variety of music, coming, of course, with things like African music, even Latin music and all that.
Would you say that an emphasis on the local music scene is important? Meaning, you know, music that is actually from that particular city?
Definitely very, very important to me. I mean, if you come from a Kuala Lumpur standpoint, I mean, the whole Klang Valley, we have to put our hands up and say that it's really hard to find any form of traditional cultural music that's easily accessible outside of festivals and outside of maybe a specific hall like Istana Budaya or whatever.
And so how do you think Malaysia's own cities measure up when it comes to, I suppose, being called a musical city?
Well, the thing is, it's very interesting you say that, because I go to a lot of places to dig for records and all that. So I find a lot of foreign crate diggers coming to Malaysia looking for all kinds of records that are totally Malaysian. Things like, you know, gamelan records, Mak Yong records, Pop Ye Ye, and Keroncong and all that. So they ask me, like, things are kind of like, they can find things on records, but say, where can they actually watch these shows in Kuala Lumpur? And you got to tell them, like, basically, I think it's really rare to find shows on a regular basis that's not a top 40 Western type setting in any venue in Kuala Lumpur in terms of local music.
And so what are the main challenges or obstacles to, you know, a place like Kuala Lumpur becoming a world-standard musical city?
First thing, last year, we already lost our Arts on the Move program that was in the MRT in Masjid Jamek. That's a kind of like, you know, just a very basic thing of having a busker platform. And we couldn't even get that going consistently, and it's kind of gone. We kind of lose venues regularly also. I mean, sadly, places like Gaslight KL are gone. And where would you want to find buskers? Because they have a lot of problems with DBKL permits. And it's just a very basic scenario where, I mean, people are not talking to each other. I mean, the buskers, the musicians, the street performers, kind of non-existent, actually. I mean, beyond the fact that you can find them in shopping malls do employ buskers now, I hear, but you can't really find them in most public spaces. Maybe if you go to Sogo on the weekends, there's an interesting busker community that plays at the Fish Head Curry place in the someone to go. So it's kind of like, it's very, very far-flung to actually watch something that's kind of like folk-based or very, I mean, Malay, classic music, classic pop.
Ultimately, where should the encouragement or the push for this to happen come from? Where is the disconnect?
Well, I mean, the disconnect is definitely coming from maybe the authorities. And I mean, there is really no definite focus on putting music at the forefront of every street corner or venues. I mean, we do have, if you go down to places like Bangsa and all that, I mean, there will be live bands, but they will be playing things like Adele and some kind of Michael Bublé and all that stuff. But if you really look at how some places in are supported by the things like Goethe and all that, right, they do put up shows that are very interesting in places like Petaling Street. If you go to Lorong Panggung, there are like three or four venues there with lots of Malaysian experimental music, which is kind of maybe a niche thing, but there is a small community that's bubbling, kind of bubbling there. And even for DJs or so, I mean, they do have, I would say, like, some Malaysian DJs are basically building their identity, and you can find them in very small venues, like in the Zongsan building or somewhere in, like, Gasket Alley, where they have boiler rooms and all that. But most people, if a regular tourist would want to come, it's kind of really hard for them to actually find a show that's authentic, I mean, beyond the Tourism Malaysia type music program.
Mm. So, you know, I know that it might be a little unfair perhaps to compare KL to a place like London. Are there other cities or places that we could look to perhaps to maybe see how they've improved their own musical scene?
I would say, I've never been to Taiwan, but I've been reading a lot about how Taiwan is basically really pushing for Taipei to be, I mean, it already has a very strong music identity in terms of their bands, their folk music, their traditional Chinese music, but they're building venues which are pretty much very, very important for how a scene can grow for music. And I think we really don't have that many venues that are kind of like sympathetic towards music that's not commercial enough, but needs to be out there.
That was Daryl Goh, culture editor of The Star.
So one of the interesting aspects of the Guardian article is that it also focused on the challenges or downsides of these musical cities and whether you can truly consider some of these cities to be successful musical cities when they also create other issues.
Mm. So for instance, London, which we talked about earlier, has actually lost 35% of its grassroots music venues since 2007 because of rising costs and rapid development. Mm-hmm. Austin, which we also talked about, is facing problems with gentrification, and which means that a lot of the smaller acts, a lot of the minority communities, are actually facing the prospect of being edged out of a city that once belonged to them.
Mm, yeah. Mm.
And Nashville also faces gentrification, where rising property prices means that venues and studios in its famous Music Row are being torn down for more profitable buildings. And this in turn affects the artists who call the city home.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad, but it's sort of a universal phenomenon, isn't it? When times are hard, your arts, anything to do with arts and culture are the first to be sacrificed.
Right, yeah. And sort of that the very thing that draws people to that city,
yeah.
You know, ironically, the tourist dollars also means that the place becomes gentrified, more people want to live there, it's
yes.
cool.
Yes.
And then you push out the people who created that scene in the first
place.
That's
right. And the Guardian article also mentions New Orleans, which, while being renowned for its music scene, doesn't actually have music policies in place to protect or support musicians.
Right.
And that's really interesting. So it shows that they really rely on just the grassroots, the cultural movement for the people themselves to just develop it. And you know, so again, I guess when times are hard, when developers come in or when city planners are looking at what they would like to compromise on, there are no policies in place to protect.
Yeah, that's right. There are no policies in place. There are also, I suppose, can you actually consider a viable career in something that is so unstructured?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So because you do it out of the love of it, you do it because possibly it's what you've been doing for decades. But in terms of sustainability, as you said, when you know times are tough, that's likely the first thing that will be that will be cut back. So you know, just very quickly, I was wondering, do you guys consider KL a musical city?
I don't think I do. KL, I don't think, has associated music with its identity. And when you tell, even when you tell, whether it's locals or foreigners, the moment you mention KL, music is not something that would immediately come to mind.
Yeah, the music scene is too small, too fractured as well. And again, I think most importantly, no music policies. You don't have economic and trade policies looking at developing that as an industry. So everybody's just working in silos and nothing can happen.
And to go back to what Daryl also said earlier, the fact that there isn't a defined sort of support system, that there aren't defined efforts by the government to promote music venues, to bring together different musicians and different types of music so that people can access them. So a lot to think about, I suppose. But we do need to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will be talking about the effect of loneliness, a bit of a shift in topics there. So on that note, we do have a Twitter poll going.
So we're asking you, what do you do when you feel lonely? Your options are reach out to someone, plan some activities, or nothing. If you have any other thoughts that you want to share with us, you can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
So more on that after the break. But first, here's some local music for you after that conversation about musical cities. Here's Kyoto Protocol with KL I Love You on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.